Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on, have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
I had opened the other.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, as always, Angelo. And Alex, are you ready to admit Derek Carr is better than Geno Smith?
Hey, what's going on, guys? No, because, I mean, they beat one of... we'll talk about the Saints in a bit when we make the picks, because I have an interesting stat for you that I want to give you out and know what you think when we pick the Saints game. But yeah, still no, because I think they faced probably the worst team in the league by quite a margin. So
by quite a margin. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Did you not at some point during the offseason? What?
I mean, the picks, I still have in the air. The team that you picked to do well, that people were usually down on, those to supersede their expectations, were the Tennessee Titans. I picked the Carolina Panthers. The team that you picked to be a disappointment would be the Baltimore Ravens, so to fail the expectations. I picked the Philadelphia Eagles. So right now, we both seem to be bad.
What do you mean? The Ravens just lost.
Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens just lost, sure, but it's like they played quite well, and at least in my eyes, they played quite well. They just faced probably the best team in the NFL right now. So I wouldn't say that you are onto something there, at least so far, but we'll see how it. But at least in the teams that should surprise, I think we were both wrong, I would say. I know you still want to have some hope on your Titans, but they just lost the game versus a team that didn't score 3 offensive points. They scored 2.
You're really hanging on that 2-point conversion, aren't you, buddy?
Hey, it's what I have. They lost by 7 versus a team that didn't score a field goal or a touchdown. An offensive touchdown.
Here's the thing. It took Will Levis having, quite honestly, one of the worst decisions I think I've ever seen made as a quarterback for that to happen. So I think if good old Will can get his head straight, maybe drink some more. Oh, by the way, did you see that when week one he was the Hellman sponsor?
I did not.
Hellman's is a mayo company, if you don't know.
There's Hellman's in Portugal.
Oh, okay. But yes, he was in the Hellman's commercial while I was watching the Bengals game, and I was like, yes, they did it.
He is in a Bengals. He is in the Hellman's commercial. He is, if I'm not mistaken, he is sponsored by Hellman's, and if I'm not mistaken as well, they released like a perfume for his Hellman's line. So yeah. Weird. Let's just say that. Weird.
Regardless, I think when Will Levis gets his mentals right, the Titans are there. I really do think that. Unless you want to admit the Bears are not what we thought the Bears were.
I mean, the Bears won. So I'll just put it at that. But the offense is definitely not what we think. what we thought the Bears offense would be. But still, they won the game, so the defense is at least what we expected. I'll say that much. Okay, so I guess the first thing that we can talk about, because it's the game that we did not talk about at any length in the previous fantasy football podcast, but the Jets losing to the 49ers. Jets
being sacrificed.
Yeah, sort of getting sacrificed, yeah, I'll say that. They lost 19-32 versus the 49ers. I guess the big storyline was...
Alex, yeah. They didn't have their starters in the fourth quarter. If that's not getting sacrificed, I don't know what is.
Wasn't it just
they threw in the white flag?
Two drives? Or the last drive, even?
Yeah, it might have been like the last two. Yeah,
You really said, like, yeah, it was literally the last drive. And it was only Tyrod Taylor that played, like... They still had Garrett Wilson, they still had Breece Hall, they still had all of those dudes.
I'm just saying, they threw out the white flag.
They did. That's true. But it was only, like, the last drive, and they were down, what, 12-32?
19-32.
No, they were down 12 because they turned the sketch down.
Yep.
So
yes. Yes, they got sacrificed. Don't try and mix words.
Okay, they got sacrificed. I guess the big storyline was the CMC getting inactive, basically, the day of the game, like 1 hour before the game. They said that he would not play whatsoever. Then you had the whole mix-up with Jordan Mason, who played great. And they interviewed Mason.
Unfortunately. At
the game. He says that he got word that he would be the starter on Friday, which... is a bit weird since they only reported CMC as questionable on Saturday. Then Shannon asked about that. And what?
Should have been Garendo.
I believe Garendo is also fighting something, like an hamstring injury or something.
It is a hamstring injury, yeah.
Yeah. So
our principal. But
yeah, then Shanahan got asked, like, when he said that Mason would be a starter, did he really say it on Friday? He said no, didn't say any of that. And then Mason got quite annoyed at the media because he apparently fucked up. So
good.
Yeah,
Isaac
not
Garendo
great.
Game incoming.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm not sure if they will bench the guy who just went for 120-something yards. But it could happen, I guess.
There's this guy on YouTube, and he took a full-on victory lap with the CMC injury, by the way. But at one point during his whole diatribe, I forgot what his name was, but he had like 70,000 subscribers, which is a pretty big channel for fantasy football, quite honestly. But in the middle of it, he called Jordan Mason the better running back. Not between Isaac Garendo and Jordan Mason, but between Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason.
I mean, there's nuts everywhere, so what do you want to say about that? That's just like a guy trying to get clicks. Let's put it at that.
Yeah. Pretty much.
But he did perform when he got the role. Like,
he did.
He had a great game. He ran well. Nothing really to point out. He didn't really make any sort of mistakes. And I think it's understandable from what I've read so far, according in regards to CMC. He has Achilles tendonitis. Which, from what I've read, it's basically like when you have that, it flares up from time to time and it gives you the sense that the Achilles is about to rip off. So, like, the best course of action to avoid that, and it's something that I wouldn't be surprised if they went ahead with, is just, like, full rest for, like, a month, basically. So, for a month, you do barely anything.
We're still seeing Isaac Garendo.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he's like either put on ice for a month, basically. So that's like 4 weeks. If he's put on short-term IR for 4 weeks, I could see something along those lines in which they are being super cautious about him. They are just trying to, at their best, to avoid him doing any sort of like physical activity in regards to training and whatnot, because like, they really don't need him for this part of the season. They need him for the playoffs. They need him to be healthy by the playoffs. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is like a season in which McCaffrey plays like 12 games, stops. maybe even less than that. Maybe you're looking at 10 games of Christian McCaffrey. And Mason, Verendo, all of those guys will just, like, share snaps, basically.
Verendo.
I mean, he didn't even take an offense. He took three offensive snaps.
Yeah, exactly.
Three. And then he had, like, 10 special team snaps, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So, I mean, he played something, but as long as Jordan Mason is playing this way, I'm not sure if he's getting on the field, buddy.
He's getting on the field, I'm telling you right now. My boy will have his day.
Okay.
So anyway, Alex was wrong about the Jets. He put his faith in the Jets, and apparently the Jets' game plan is just throw it to three people, because I'm pretty sure that until they put the backups in, only Breece Hall, Alan Lazard, and Garrett Wilson even got, like, receptions.
Could be. I know that it was Alan Lazard. Yeah, let me check. On the last drive of the game, it was still Braylon Allen got a catch. So he only had one catch the whole game. So that's it. Tyler Conklin got one catch as well. So I believe he had two for the whole game. So I think Tyler Conklin got a catch. No, yes, he actually only had a catch. He had two targets. So outside of, like, the last drive of the game, which was with Tyrod Taylor, the only guy that got a target, even not even a catch, outside of Lazard, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, was Tyler Conklin, and it was an incompletion. So yeah, I mean, it's something that you actually like when you're talking about, like, fantasy and whatnot. It's something that you're not really a fan of when you're talking about an actual offense, because Lazard isn't great. He has the chemistry with Aaron Rodgers, but still, I believe he played the most snaps out of any wide receiver as well. So more snaps than Garrett Wilson, for example. Wilson did out-target him 11-9, but he only had 6 catches for 60 yards. From what I've seen, he played pretty well. But I think this offense will take a step, and it's crazy that I'm saying this, but I think this offense will take a step forward once they get Mike Williams, which is quite a ridiculous thing to say, because Mike Williams is far from, like, a paradigm of health or something, or someone that you can trust. But still, I think the offense will look quite different when he's back. And I think actually the major concern, I didn't really have a concern with the Jets offense, because I don't think they'll face this type of a... No, because I don't think they'll face a team as complete as the 49ers for a long, long while now. Because, like, this team is just one of the best all-around teams in the NFL. And it's very rare. Don't you? The Niners?
No, I thought you were talking about the Jets. My bad.
No. I'm saying going against a team as complete as the 49ers, I think it's not something that you do often. So I think this is just going to be, like, their ultimate test. And they probably were not ready for this one yet. Rodgers is still coming back from the injury. He looked much better than, for example, Kirk Cousins, who's also coming back from the same injury but happened later in the season. I think the offensive line still needs some work as the season progresses. I expect them to be a bit better because they were being dominated in the trenches by the 49ers. And I think... actually their biggest issue right now, I think it was the running game. The inability, I guess, to stop the running game seemed really easy. But again, it's hard to judge this on one game, especially versus a team like the 49ers. Well, you have one of the best minds in terms of scheming up run games. So I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock into this. I still think they're a great team, the Jets. It's just going to take a bit more for them to get there.
I think there's a lot of offenses that look really bad right now.
This was, if I'm not mistaken, this was the year with the less all-around passing touchdowns on week one for the past, I want to say, 10-plus years. It was like a stat like that I read. So, and actually, like, I could find it fairly quickly while we're talking about it. But yeah, like, the all around, the amount of touchdowns went down. I really did not see that many teams that you could look at and say they are legit and they are, like, they are the cream of the crop. The cream of the crop. So I think the overall ability of the teams or the talent on the teams as the client for the past few years, that maybe they surprised them. I mean, it's just week one. Taking things out of week one is usually not all that great, and it's not an indicative of what's going to happen by the end of the season. But still, overall, you're right. Like, the offenses did take a step back in general.
Yep.
And I was trying to find here where I had the stats of overall touchdowns on week one. And I'm not finding it right. Oh, there it is. Week one passing touchdowns since 2018. You had 61 passing touchdowns in 2021, 2019. You had 52 in 2020, 51 in 2022, 49 in 2018, 37 last year, and this year you only had 35 passing touchdowns across the entirety of week one. Since there were, like, what, 16 games? I mean, the math on that tells you that it's not all that great.
It was a pretty bad week one, honestly.
I mean, it's less than 2.2 touchdowns per game, so.
And that includes the Saints absolutely ram-rolling the Panthers.
It includes that, because there were not a whole lot of passing touchdowns there as well, were they? I think there were only three. Yeah, so. And just overall, the touchdowns and the offenses are a bit rough around the edges. I think the Chiefs definitely look like the best team right now. It's hard for me to look at other teams and say that their offense is great. I was expecting more from the Dolphins, but I could see it, this just being like a game in which the offense.
Jacksonville's defense that legit?
No, I think it's just like week one and the Dolphins. I mean, Tua still had 300 yards passing, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was just like a matter of being so hot that they just weren't in their game.
They still won, by the way.
They still won, yeah. But, like, overall, the offenses, I think the Buccaneers' offense looked really good. But the Commanders, sort of, I think their defense is just that bad. So I wouldn't really attribute to the Buccaneers' offense being, like, awesome. And, yeah, outside of that, like, it's tough for me. I'm looking at these games, I'm looking at their offenses, and it's like the Bills' offense looks good, but again, I think the Cardinals' defense is the main topic there. The Eagles' offense looked good as well, but again, Brazil, sloppy field.
What happened to tight ends? This might be more fantasy, but it seems like the only tight end to have a good game in week one was Isaiah Likely.
Yeah, I think overall, so, and that's why I'm not panicking about tight ends yet. It's just overall the week one offenses were also rubbish. That I really don't think it's going to be an indicative of what's to come this season. I think it was just a rough week one for a lot of guys. Just in general, a lot of stars didn't perform. A lot of, not stars, but like at least rising stars, I would say, that we were expecting like to take the next step up. Yeah, like Marvin Harrison, like Drake London, like Chris Olave, those guys that we were expecting to take the next step up and reach another tier, really didn't perform at all. So I'm not super worried right now in terms of like fantasy football about wide receivers, tight ends, whatnot. I think if I had to pick one team that I'm really kind of worried about right now, it's the Falcons and their assets outside of Bijan. Because you had Drake London, for example.
I think I'm more worried about the Panthers.
I mean, but who were you trusting on the Panthers, though? With the high,
who were you trusting on the Panthers, Alex?
I mean, I like Jonathan Brooks. I like Deontay Johnson, but those guys were 8-10 from pick in redraft and were quite cheap, at least Deontay Johnson was quite cheap to get in Dynasty. So, and like Drake London, you're talking about a whole different type of player. He's a guy that got picked in the second round of a lot of the redraft teams. So that's why I'm a bit more concerned, because Kirk really looked rough. I was looking more into it as well. And the thing that I saw there that really concerns me is that he looked completely immobile. Like, there were a lot of shotgun snaps, a lot of pistol snaps. Nothing really from under the center so far, because it really seems like the coaching staff knows that he has an inability to do the dropbacks right now. To lean on that surgically repaired Achilles tendon that he tore. When he is passing as well, it seems like he's really putting basically nothing on that injured, not now repaired, Achilles tendon. So, and that really is affecting his motions, is affecting his throwing power as well, because if you're not putting anything on the feet, then it becomes really just you are trying to do the best that you can with just your arm, with barely any movement to help it as well. So I think just overall, that's the team that I'm really concerned about right now. Again, we talked about this at length during the preseason, that maybe they're not the team that we were expecting them to be. But it came from a place of maybe the defense isn't great, maybe the offense doesn't take that step forward. And it was not really like, maybe Kirk is an issue, and now it's becoming like all of that. Plus, is Kirk an issue now? Is Kirk not going to be like 100%, or will he ever be 100% right now? Because it could be mental as well. Like, you see that, and you think maybe it's an injury, maybe he's still recovering.
He just doesn't trust it.
But yeah, maybe it just could be mental, that he is not in a good mental place right now to put any sort of pressure on that Achilles tendon, and he feels like it can be tear off again. I don't know right now.
This is supposed to be the football show, so we're going to talk about more. Because I heard rumblings of fans calling for Michael Penix. How many more games like this do you have to see before you think the coaching staff says, yeah, we're going to put Penix in?
I would think it's hard, unless it's like, say, for example, an extreme case of they're going 0-8.
They look like an extreme case.
They look like an extreme case, that's for sure. Let me check their schedule here. So now they are facing the Philadelphia Eagles. They are facing the Kansas City Chiefs. That's another tough one as well. Then they are facing your Saints. Then they are facing the Buccaneers. And depending on how the Saints, depending on if the Saints are really good or if the Saints just face the Panthers, we could have...
You just listed a bunch of teams who scored 30-plus points in Week 1, I'm just saying, and there wasn't that much scoring in Week 1.
Yes, I agree, but still, like, I wouldn't put KC and Philadelphia in the same tier as the New Orleans Saints, for example, or the Buccaneers, which they face Week 5. So, like, that five-week stretch, I don't think they're going on 5. But if Cousins really looks as terrified as he looked in Week 1, maybe they could go 0-5. Then they face the Panthers. Then they go, they face the Seahawks, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Dallas Cowboys, the Saints again. So by Week 10, I could see them having like 2 wins maybe 3 at best. So by Week 10, you could be looking at a 3-7 team. After Week 10, I could see like they then face the Broncos. I could see them maybe going like,
I don't think 4-7. Like this, I don't think he makes it to Week 5.
Nah, Week 5, I think the amount of money that they invested in him, I think they still need to keep it going, invest in him a bit more. But like, they have a bye on Week 12. I could see them, like, if the season looks over, or like it's very on the fringe of being over, and you're still not seeing a whole lot of changes in Cousins, I could see them pulling the plug and going panics to finish up the season. I've even seen some like conspiracy theories, I guess. Also, just saying as well, the rest of the schedule is quite winnable if their offense plays good. because they face the Chargers, and that's at home coming off the bye. That's probably the hardest game that they'll have the rest of the season, because then they face the Vikings, the Raiders, the Giants, the Commanders, and the Panthers to finish up the season. So I think if there's any chance that the season could be saved with a QB change on on the bye, I could see them taking the bye, just training the offense with panics and make the switch then. But prior to that, I wouldn't really consider it to be a possibility. But I was saying as well, what was I saying actually? Because I was going to say something prior to this. Damn it. I've lost it. No, I was saying that because of the money that they invested in it, and I think they will give him a chance. And the conspiracy theory that I heard was that when they sign him to that contract, that's the physicals and whatnot, but then they got him in for like practices and whatnot, and he looked like he's looking right now. And that's when I decided to pull the plug and draft Michael Penix. So
you're saying they knew all along?
No, they didn't know all along. They knew after the contract was signed, because he passed the physical, and then he looked rough when they finally got him in the building.
Interesting.
So I've heard that conspiracy theory floating around. Again, it's looks quite asinine, and someone would probably get fired if that happened. But again, craziest things have happened, I guess.
Interesting. Moral of the story, if your team is known for having a good offense, unless you're the Bengals, they performed week one. That's what I noticed. The Eagles offense looked really good. Yeah, no shit. They looked like a good offense last year. Chiefs, even the Bucks, like, it just Bills, Dolphins. It just seemed like the good offenses from last year that didn't change over their quarterback still looked good this year to start the season.
I think one of the funniest things that I've heard and I've read actually is in regards to Daniel Jones and that whole offense. And by the way, like, again, let me take a small victory lap here in regards to neighbors.
You're taking a victory lap on neighbors? Oh, okay. Wow. Sure.
I mean, who between us said that he could be a wide receiver too, so a top 24 wide receiver on his year one with this offense, even if they stink? Because I don't think it was you.
So, who had Malik Neighbors ranked higher than Marvin Harrison Jr.? I'm just
curious. Did. Who had... again... Who said that he could be a wide receiver too? And he would be a wide receiver too, despite being on this offense, when you said that it was impossible because this offense was so bad that even if he had all of those targets, that he still would suck because the offense would be atrocious. Who said that he could be a wide receiver too?
I mean, it's still going to be hella hard to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you're talking receiver. Like he was a world beater. He got 50 yards, dude. And that was like a third of the passing volume.
He got 66 yards on five catches.
And that was like a third of the passing volume.
Again, he is he's tied for wide receiver 27 right now. So he's very close of making it in. I think he's like 2 points behind a wide receiver 2 right now. Let's see what happens. I'll take the small victory lap on that one.
Uh-huh.
But something in regards to the Giants, though.
They look terrible.
This is a stat. They look terrible. I mean, that's a given. But I'll say, did you know that since signing a $160 million contract with the Giants, Daniel Jones has thrown more touchdown passes to the opposition than to his own teammates?
Yeah,
he has more pick sixes than passes for touchdowns.
Yeah, I believe that.
I think that's like almost impossible to have happened, but hey, here we are. And apparently not. Apparently that is a thing.
Yeah. I guess it's easy when you're a bad NFL quarterback, I guess. I honestly don't know why they paid Daniel Jones. I've maintained that this Giants situation is just like an experiment to see how long Brian Daboll could last in that organization. He's getting fired. If he ends the season on this team, like, I don't know. I'll have some fucking conspiracy theories about why that is. Like, There's no way.
I mean, I did read a report that said that the Giants ownership would be following the season quite closely, and that they were expecting improvements to happen. Otherwise, basically, heads would roll. So
it looks like heads are rolling. So
could be, unless
what it could be. They fucking got demolished by the Vikings, Alex.
You know, it's always hard when we're doing this because it's like we speak of the Vikings and we think, yeah, the fucking Vikings, they got rolled over by them. But like, maybe defense has improved. Maybe the offense isn't as bad as some people were.
Maybe the Vikings are a better team than we give them credit for.
I mean, maybe they are. I did say that they could maybe be like 7-8 win team.
Sam Darnold is their starting quarterback.
And Sam Darnold played great. Now, is that the Giants' offense being terrible? Is that Darnold being good? I think from what I've seen from Darnold, I think it's a mix of both.
Be honest with me. How many teams in the NFL are the Vikings going to face where you're confident in saying Sam Darnold is the better quarterback in the matchup?
Just in general. Okay, so week four, they're facing the Packers, and the Packers likely have Malik Willis starting at QB then. So that's it as well. They have a better QB than the Tennessee Titans. They have a better QB than the Bears so far as well. They have a better QB than current Kirk Cousins.
Jesus, dude. Gave Caleb a big old stray.
I mean, right now, like, it's fine projecting them for the future and whatnot, but, like, right now, people really like to hate on Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold has been dealt a rough hand for most of his career so far. I mean, with the Jets, he never really had anything to work with. Then he goes to Carolina. Terrible coaching, terrible weapons again. He goes to San Francisco. He backs up Brock Purdy last season. And in the one game that he started, I believe it was the last game of the season, he actually plays quite decently. And now, I mean, he has weapons. He has a great cast of weapons. He has Aaron Jones. He has Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. And he was using those weapons. He made great passes to Addison. He made great passes to Justin Jefferson. I mean, he looked like a complete QB in this league. Like, he is not a world beater, sure. But I think he's, if given the weapons, what he is right now, he's an average QB. And that's more that you could say for a whole lot of these teams.
A whole lot?
Maybe not a whole lot, but it's better than what you can say for a lot of these teams. Like, Kirk Cousins right now is not average. Caleb Williams from the one game that we saw is not average. Will Levis from the one game that we saw is not average. Kyler Murray looked above average for the first 15 minutes. Then he sort of looked average, bang on average. Aaron Rodgers looked a bit above average. So, I don't know. I think just QB-wise, I don't think they're terrible. And I think the team in general, especially if the defense is as good as we saw versus the Giants, and that's always the thing here, is just how much of what we saw is given to one team and not the other one. But in this case, I think it's a mix, really. I think it's the Vikings defense maybe have improved quite a bit, their offense looks good, and the Giants' defense looks quite rough. Their offense looks putrid. So just in general, I think maybe the Giants aren't all that, but I wouldn't be surprised if like they can actually muster some things down the future, because I could see them doing decent versus the Commanders. I could see their defense doing okay versus the Cleveland Browns, and all of a sudden they're in both of those games. So it's hard to make cases here for teams that look terrible, but that's the case that I can make right now. Any other game that you feel the need to talk about? I know we have things to talk about that we couldn't address in the fantasy show. We had to cut that one short a bit. Best team so far across 1 week. I think we both agree that it's the Chiefs, yeah. Worst team across 1 week.
Panthers.
We both agree it's the Panthers. So we're both in like the same line of thought there.
I think you could argue that the 49ers, depending on how good you think the Jets are. If you think the Jets are like an AFC conference championship team, I could see the argument for the 49ers being viewed as better than the Chiefs. I really could.
I think maybe in the future I could say that, but like current 49ers, if they were to face the Chiefs, I think it would be an 8-point game, basically, maybe even more than that, purely because I think they're not at full strength yet. They still don't have Hufanga at safety back. They don't have CMC, of course. Ayuk looked really rusty.
Ayuk was also on Sauce Gardner, so I don't know how much Ayuk.
Yeah, he was on Sauce, but I think like he dropped one touchdown, if I'm not mistaken, in the red zone as well, in the end zone, that is. That he should have made the play for Brock Purdy, he didn't. So I think he is not quite there, and it's understandable. I mean, he missed like what 4 months of football. While every team was practicing and whatnot, he just did nothing there. So it's understandable that he's still not up to rhythm. And just because of that, I would say that right now the Chiefs are probably my number one team. The Niners are probably second, yeah. I don't really think the only other team that you can make a case for would be the Lions. But I don't know. I think they tried to give away that game a bit more than I would be comfortable with.
Yeah.
They really were trying to lose that game.
Yeah, I'm about to say, after the 49ers and the Chiefs, yeah, there's a... I guess if you want to say the Lions just on the pure... talent that they have, sure, but then you get into the realm of discussing like the teams that really, really played well, like the Saints and the Bucks. And do you really want to put them up there? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think, quite honestly, the most even with the knowledge that T. Higgins was out, I think everything about the Bengals is disappointing right now. I think the only thing that was a pleasant surprise was how the offensive line play. If the offensive line plays like this at a consistent basis, I think we got a chance once the offense gets into rhythm. Yep. But everything else about the Bengals look, which granted, I guess I can't bash on the defense too hard. The defense did stop them the first like 4 or 5 possessions. So, you know, when you can't score, eventually the other team's going to score, but still.
What do you think? Because I heard this being talked about quite a bit. What do you think of the idea that maybe Callahan was a bigger part of this offense than people are giving credit for? Because I know that there were a lot of rumbles, and not even rumbles. I think this was confirmed that Zach Taylor would call most of the offense in terms of plays, in terms of like sets, whatnot. Like that would all come from Zach Taylor.
Here's the thing. I don't think the Saints offense looked bad. I think Will and Levis made a few costly decisions. I really do think, and you're someone who said that, you know, you don't think the weapons on the Titans were that good. I think for the sets that were out there, the offense for the Titans did look good. It's just Will Levis looked limited. To bring this back to the Bengals, Will Levis is not Joe Burrow. So I did notice a huge difference. I'm curious to see what all happens moving forward, because watching the game, it really looked like the Bengals tried to establish the run early. That got shut down because Zach Moss was only good in certain spurts and Chase Brown wasn't good at all, basically. Then they got frantic and worried because then the Patriots scored 10 points and then they're like, okay, we need to get this offense going. And then we just called pass play, pass play, pass play. And we made a few mental gaffes. So I'm curious to see what the offense looks like when we don't start off absolutely putrid at the start. And seeing if that was, it was just a bad game flow for the Bengals. So am I open to the idea that Brian Callahan's offense was the issue? Yes. Am I willing to say that after 1 week? No. I gotta see how the offense flows when it gets on a more consistent basis. And with T. Higgins back.
Okay. And speaking of T. Higgins, I just got a notification. I believe he was not spotted in practice today as well.
Yeah, he's not playing this week. There's no way he's playing this week.
No, it looks like it's going to be a very wait and see approach.
I'd be shocked if he plays this week, but we'll see.
Okay. So, any other game that you want to talk about, or do you want to jump straight into the picks?
What game is there left to talk about? We could talk about Houston. And do you want to talk about Anthony Richardson's 9 completions?
Those were some great 9 completions. Again, I'm really not worried about Indianapolis. They had him in that game, basically. If it's not for him, they probably wouldn't be in a chance to even come close to getting that win. He got them like great passes, like that pass to Alec Pierce again was phenomenal. He had one interception, sure. He missed passes in the intermediate part of the field, in the short part of the field. I'll give you all of that.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, passes to make.
Yeah, sure. But at the end of the day, this is his 5th start. This is his 3rd complete game in the NFL. I'm not going to hold this against him. Like, he lost by 2 game. He lost 2 game by 2 points versus a playoff team last year. So I'm not really going to hold this against him. He, in my mind, he played okay. He had a few wild plays. He had a few mistakes. I still think he's going to be a great QB. He needs to own up a few things here and there, just get them fixed, get them sorted. And once that's done, and once he improves, because, again, people like to say, okay, he missed all of this, he missed all of that, he is a running back, he is this, he is that. Like, one of the youngest QBs in the game can actually improve. Like, I don't know if people can wrap this concept around their mind. And I know you're going to throw at me Justin Fields. And like, I never gave that to Justin Fields and whatnot. Again, Justin Fields is on his year four right now, and he looks as atrocious as he looked on year one. So this is Anthony Richardson's 5th game, and he is already doing more than Fields ever did in terms of wild passes and whatnot. So I think the difference, I mean, speaking of Justin, right? We were just talking about Justin Fields. If you look at his passing charts this past week, he didn't make a picture, but his passing chart is like, it's everything is on the boundaries. Nothing is in the middle of the field. He still can't make a single pass in the middle of the football field. Like deep, short, intermediate, there's actually nothing there. It looks like a pitcher is about to be sent down to the minors. There's nothing, dude. So again, it's year four for him. He looks as atrocious as he did year one, except he's now like not actually costing the team the game. But neither is Richardson on like his fifth game of the season. If anything, he's giving them a chance to actually make something here. And again, as I said, you look at Stroud's numbers, not all that different from Richardson apart from the completions, and he had two interceptions in which he was bailed out. So he made those two interceptions. The defender came with the ball both times. One got basically thrown away because of a penalty. The other one got thrown away because the defender came just an inch out of bounds, if I'm not mistaken, when he was coming down with the ball. So he got bailed on other plays as well. Nico Collins, if I'm not mistaken, had it. A ginormous play at the end of the game when they were down, on 3rd and 11 with 2 minutes left after the 2 minute warning. He makes a pass that everyone thought just was going to be off, and Nico Collins makes one heck of a play to keep that ball in bounds, to make that catch. So at the end of the day, they lost by 2 points versus a team that is projected, that went to the playoffs last season with a defense that looks terrible. So I still like my guy. I still think my guy has a lot of room to improve. And I think my guy is going to improve, because right now my guy looks great. In the highs, he looks awesome. So I'll take that.
Bryce Young looks like a bust.
Bryce Young looks like a bust.
Just making sure.
I wonder if it goes as bad as it appears that it's going to go, is it over next season?
It has to be.
If they pick one overall?
It has to be.
I would say
you can pass on Will Levis. I would rather have Will Levis right now than Bryce Young.
Well, it's not hard to say that, right? Like, you probably rather after the 30 QBs in the NFL over Bryce, purely because of the track record that he brought last season. The one thing that I would say that it's maybe not over, it's because the upcoming QB class doesn't look great, but I'm sure that's going to be a guy that just does great this season, rises up the board, and if Carolina is picking one overall, again, much like I said with Fields, new coaching staff, new GM, they are not going to go down with the guy that someone else brought in.
Is coming out.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is Ewers like in the one overall range right now?
I mean, he has to at least be in the conversation for able to get there.
Okay, maybe. Again, it's about like when you look at prospects and you look at Bryce Young as a prospect and you look at Ewers as a prospect. Like, I haven't looked deep into Ewers, but Bryce Young was definitely up there as a prospect. So it's also about what you can expect that you can do with this guy still. Do they have any hope? And it's week one as well. Like, there's still 17 more weeks to go, or 16 more weeks to go.
Going that bad against the Saints is not a good sign, friend.
Yeah, and we're saying that, but maybe it's like the Saints actually have a great defense. The Saints have a great offense. Maybe all of that can happen. And like next week or in 2 weeks, we're saying maybe this loss doesn't look as bad.
Good.
Maybe, I mean, it's week one. It's week one. All of that can happen, right? Like, where this shit has happened, so. In the moment, it looks terrible, and the mistakes that he made looks like it's all on him. Like, the interceptions looks to be all on him, just bad reads, bad plays, shit throws, looks to be all on him. But maybe in, like, 5 weeks, the offense has finally settled in, the new scheme has finally settled in, looks like the Saints are a juggernaut. Right now, and they're going undefeated so far. And all of a sudden, like, Carolina is sitting at, I don't know, 2-4 or 3-3. And it's like their one terrible loss versus the Saints doesn't look as terrible now because the Saints are just great. I mean, it's the NFL, you know, shit happens. I'm not going to throw that away. It's in the realm of possibility, as some say. But I wouldn't bet on it right now. I would say that right now it's all on Bryce, really.
It's saying it's within the range of outcomes.
Yeah. The range of outcomes. You think it's all on him as well, right? It's...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And if it keeps going like this, it's over?
I think there's a chance it might be over, like, already.
Ah. It's week one, dude. Like, he's not going to get benched, I wouldn't say. Because I am. I'm fairly certain about that. They still need to see what they have in him. It's been 1 year. Different coaching staff that really didn't live up to anything. So I would say that there's not really a chance that he gets benched.
Okay.
Like, if they have a young guy behind them, sure. But they have Andy Dalton, so.
At what point does Andy Dalton look like the sexier option?
I don't think it matters, though. Like, assuming you still have any sort of leash on him, which I think he has a leash, because he is the one overall pick in last year's, and not last year's, but the year prior to that one, 2023's NFL draft. Mm-hmm. I gotta assume that he still has some sort of a big leash right now, so I don't see them benching him until, like, feasibly week, 14? And by then, the season is probably over. So, like, if this goes as terribly during, like, 14 weeks, you better just ride it out for 4 more weeks and let it be.
Okay. We'll see.
You think there's any chance that he gets benched during the season?
Yes. I think there's a very good chance he gets benched.
Why? Why would they do that?
Because they care more about their jobs than developing Bryce Young.
Do you think any of these guys' jobs are on the line after 1 year? I know it's Stepper, but still.
Yes. Yes.
I think that would be crazy. That would be, for a franchise that already has as bad of a rep as they do with their owner right now. I don't know if that wouldn't just harm the franchise more than anything. Like, who would line up? You just got this hot, red-hot offensive coordinator that was with the Buccaneers last season, got them to the playoffs when no one was really expecting anything out of them. You get them in as an head coach, and, like, you gave them 1 year, and, like, he's gone. That feels like something that isn't going to go over all that well in terms of, like, getting future candidates. So I don't really think any of these guys' jobs are on the line. I think the GM is more like a mouthpiece for the owner than anything else. Like, he is a guy that is in the Tapper's inner circle, so.
I guess we'll see. Okay, I'm ready for the picks now.
Okay, picks. We are we're really just going with our schedule. I love it. Okay, so picks. Recap from last season. From last week. In terms of the mineral picks, Angelo went 1-2. I went 1-2. Angelo got the gold pick right with San Francisco -3.5. I got my bronze pick right with New England +9.5. And in terms of overall records,
Is that weighted or something?
No, I haven't wagered anything on these. It's just like our top picks.
Weighted. Is the gold pick worth more than the bronze pick?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say so. It's okay. The gold pick, so. But overall, I'm just going to keep record on what we do on all three minerals, basically.
Okay.
And overall, Angelo went 8-8. I went 7-9. So I'm one game behind right now in... Screw you, buddy. One game behind only, and it was because of Monday Night Football. Ah, it is what it is. And in the games in which both of us picked the same team, or the same side, I guess, we went 2-3. So,
not as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah. Okay, and for this week, we jump over to our fancy app here that we won't say the name until we get the sponsor. And who starts this week? Me or you?
I think losers first.
Losers first. Got it. Okay, so Thursday night football. Amazon's game. We have the Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are 1.5-point favorites. This is up there as the game with the highest over-under on the week. If I'm not mistaken, they have a 48.5. And I'm going to take Miami minus 1.5, I think. Although their record in primetime under McDaniels isn't great so far, I think overall in September, if I'm not mistaken, against the spread, they are something like 9-1 or 8-1. It's something along those lines. They're really good in September. I think the sun and the heat isn't going to be as big of a factor because this is a primetime game. But I still think the Buffalo Bills defense isn't great. And I might have underestimated the Miami Dolphins defense because they looked solid, at least. So I'm going to go with a team that is there's probably going to have an easier time on offense, and that's going to be Miami, especially now that Buffalo also lost Taron Johnson, their cornerback. I'm going to go with Miami, and I think their offense can lay up some points here.
Good. I'm glad. Give me Buffalo.
Buffalo it is for you. Okay.
Alex is wrong. You want me to say?
Yeah. It's week two, and you're already going with that. Okay. I see you.
What? 7-9? You want to talk 7-9? All right. Okay. So week two, the Raiders at the Ravens. The Ravens are favored by 9.5 points. Coming off a really impressive game against the Chiefs, but losing. You know, give me the Raiders.
Raiders plus 9.5. That's bold. That line opened at 8. I think it reached 10 a few places. It's come down a bit more right now. I believe it's at -9 because this app that we're using, I believe the odds close or lock down on Tuesday, so different than live lines. But overall, I think give me Baltimore. They have extra rest right now. I haven't played on Thursday.
Okay,
I think so. Really,
I like Baltimore. I don't think Baltimore's defense is as good as it was last year, and I think we're kind of overrating it.
Could be, but again, I'm looking at Baltimore and at Las Vegas, and they lost by 12 to the Chargers, who had 44 yards passing. So, versus an offense that really didn't do a whole lot of passing, they still lost by 12. And you're looking at a team that has better running offense, that has better running offense, yeah, that has a better defense than the Chargers. Really, it's another away game, if I'm not mistaken, for the Las.
Oh,
no, away. No, the Raiders. Yeah. Did they play at home or away?
They're away. It's in Baltimore.
Yeah, but like week one, was it away as well? I do not remember.
It was in L.A., yes.
In L.A., okay.
Yep.
So, second game away from home right now. I just have a feeling that the Ravens are that much better of a team. It's regular time. It's Sunday, 1 p.m. Give me the Ravens. I think the Ravens are gonna put a moss in the Raiders. I think the Ravens, I mean, the Chargers got over 150 yards rushing versus the Raiders. I think the Baltimore Ravens are a much better offense in terms of running the football. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a massive Derrick Henry game and they just win this game straight out, just bully balling the Raiders. So yeah, Baltimore minus 9.5.
9.5, but I would take 10.5.
No, yeah, 9.5. 9.5, yeah. So easy enough there for me. Next up, it's the Chargers. The Chargers at the Carolina Panthers. The Chargers are 6.5-point favorites in Carolina after the just dismantling that we saw. I believe this line opened at 5.5. And looking at the current line, it's sitting at 6.5 still. Same number as we had on Tuesday. I just think it's going to be Chargers minus 6.5, really. I think it's going to be close to a touchdown here. I mean, run game from the Chargers. Dobbins looked great. Maybe we have a small little resurgence here to his college days. Maybe he is. He's not. It doesn't look to be 100% back from the injury, because from what I saw a few like runs from him that could have gone to the house, but he got caught from behind. I really don't expect that to keep happening when he is 100%. So I expect him to be a bit better. Again, defense looked really good by Harbaugh. He coached up that defense really nice. The offense really run centric, take the time away from the clock. They were one of the first games to end up, because again, that's just their MO. They're gonna run the football. They're gonna take their time. They're gonna dominate time of possession. And the Panthers, I mean, so far what we saw was goddamn awful. So give me the Chargers minus 6.5.
So I know the Chargers intimately. I've lost plenty of money on the Chargers. And if there's something the Chargers have taught me, it's after something really good, usually something really bad happens. So unless Harbaugh changes this culture, Carolina is covering that 6.5.
Okay. I see you. Now comes your game, huh?
Yep. The New Orleans Saints at the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are favored by 6.5 points at home, which means they... I can't believe it's not even a touchdown.
It opened as a touchdown.
I was about to say, which means on a neutral field, this is like a 4-point spread to Vegas, or... You know
probably.
What? You know what? Give me the goddamn Saints.
Okay, so I wanted to drop this note on you. The Saints.
Go for it.
Although, the something Saints. Impressive. I'll give you props on this one. Kubiak, so not the Kubiak that you know. I believe this is the son of Clint Kubiak, who's now their QB. Is it?
Let me... Kubiak?
Yeah, Gary Kubiak is the son. No, wait. Who's the... No... Yeah,
Kubiak
okay.
Is the son of Gary
Clint Kubiak. Clint Kubiak is the son of Gary Kubiak. That's it. So Clint Kubiak is now the OC for the Saints. The Saints last season were bottom three in terms of motion pre-snap. Clint Kubiak got them all the way up to top of the league in terms of pre-motion snaps. Pre-motion, yeah. So, very good improvement there. I'll give you props
this
for that.
The Chris
one. Olave really like
game.
That.
Chris Olave is coming.
We could see that. But I want to drop this nugget on you. On the last 12 years... The Saints are 1-11 against the spread on week 2.
It's about
how do you feel about
2-11.
I was expecting that response. Okay, now I don't want to be a hater here. I don't really think I'm hating them. I'm going to take Dallas minus 6.5, really, purely because I still believe the Saints are not that great of a team. And I think what we saw was a good bunch of what we saw was the Panthers just being terrible. And I'm not expecting like Derek Carr to go back to his Las Vegas Raiders prime or anything like that. So I'm just gonna play it safe here. Go with my beliefs and go with Dallas minus 6.5. This number seems a bit high. Like if you look at what both teams did on week one, like Dallas didn't really do a whole lot on offense. The run game looked iffy. The passing game didn't look super dynamic, but they just faced a team that looks terrible.
Coming for them.
But I'm just got to take my belief here and go with the Dallas minus 6.5. Okay, next up, it is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Detroit Lions. Fun fact, last season in the playoffs, the Lions faced the Los Angeles Rams and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They opened up the season facing the Los Angeles Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's a fun fact as well. The Lions are 7.5-point favorites. This is the game with the highest over-under on the week so far. This number is tricky for me because this opened at a 5.5. It went up all the way to 7.5, which is the number that we have here, and has now gone down to 7. At 7.5, it's tricky because I think the Lions are going to win. I think the Lions probably win by a touchdown, but I do not have enough faith on that defense to have them win by over that. So at 7.5, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay.
I am going to agree with you.
Okay. See, we can agree at something.
Oh, no.
Oh, you have boy. To, buddy. Oh, you have boy. To. It's time.
Oh, boy.
Come to the dark side. We have cookies.
The Indianapolis Colts against the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay and... Oh, God. Green Bay and Malik Willis are at home. The Colts are favored by 3.5 points. Oh, man.
I just want to point out, Malik Willis has been with the team for 2 weeks.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate you.
And they have been on a 10-hour flight from Brazil.
Thanks, I really appreciate you, man. Ah, fuck. Give me the goddamn Colts.
That's it. Yeah, Colts -3.5. This number really doesn't make a whole lot of sense for me because their defense didn't really look all that great. They had one drive or half of a drive with Malik Willis. Malik Willis came in, did nothing for like the two plays that he got in. Malik Willis is probably... Malik Willis is probably the worst starting QB right now out of all of the teams, even with Bryce Young, even with Daniel Jones. He is the worst starting QB because he's not even a good backup piece. From what we've seen from the NFL, he's goddamn awful. So, yeah, 3.5 seems like a very easy number to take here. Okay, next up. It's the Deshaun Watson-led Cleveland Browns. Oh, there was something I wanted to talk about with the Browns. But I'll just drop it here. Another lawsuit filed versus Deshaun Watson. I wonder if there's offset language in the contract that could maybe nullify it. If this goes ahead and there's the sexual assault lawsuit.
Everyone in Cleveland would celebrate.
Everyone in Cleveland would likely celebrate. Yeah. So we'll leave that there. But the Cleveland Browns go to Jacksonville facing the Jags. The Jags are 3.5-point favorites. Again, the Browns defense looked good. That didn't look as good as it did last season, but it looked good. Deshaun Watson looked awful. The Jags offense really didn't look all that great, but it at least looked better than the Cleveland Browns offense, I would say. Their defense looked okay. This team is just like bang average, the Jags. They're average at everything. And this is a really terrible game for me to pick right now because I really don't like any side. This game opened at 2.5, went up to 3.5, which is what we have here. And if I'm not mistaken, it does go down as well to 3 points on the dot. But at 3.5. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars, I guess.
Yeah! He put faith in Trevor Lawrence.
It's
and the defense. It is probably going to sting you. I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns here.
They're picking against the Browns on week one.
Huh? Yes, after picking against the... I was right about picking against the Browns in week one.
You were. And you saw all of that from them. Their offense looking great, and you're going with the Browns now. Okay.
Yes.
I see.
I'm going with the Browns. I think the Browns defense is about to recover. If Deshaun plays that terribly again, you know, maybe they trade for Joe Flacco, and then this team is a good team again, apparently. Listen, I've lived in Ohio long enough to know when a bounce back is coming, and I hate to tell you, Alex, but a bounce back is about to come.
If there's one game that I wouldn't be surprised goes that way, it's probably this one. It's the pick that I probably have the least confidence on.
This is just insulting. This next one is just fucking insulting.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, the San Francisco 49ers at the Minnesota Vikings. And the 49ers are only favored by 5.5 points. I'm not even going to talk about this. The Vikings are about to get sacrificed. Give me the 49ers. That number could have been 10, and I would have picked the 49ers. What you going to do, Alex? You going to pick the Vikings not to get sacrificed?
This line has gone up to 6 now, which tells me there's a lot more movement coming in for the Niners.
Because it's an insulting line, Alex. It's an insulting line that the shitty-ass fucking Vikings are only given 5.5 points against the 49ers. It's insulting, quite honestly.
The concerns that I have right now are, one, Brandon Ayuk looked really rusty week one.
He's not going to continue to look rusty.
But probably for the first 3-4 weeks, I could see him being that rusty, to be honest, just getting up to the rhythm and whatnot.
Can you even name a Vikings DB?
No, I could not.
Exactly. That's okay. That's my point. You think Brandon Ayuk could be that rusty? Okay. Go on.
Second issue that I probably have here. The Niners are coming off of a short week, having played Monday Night Football, and they're on the road going to Minnesota. So, not great there. And third, no Christian McCaffrey. I think you want to say the other way around now. All of that said, though, the Niners looked really good. Give me the Niners.
That's what I thought, buddy.
This is a pick. I made my picks like when the lines closed on Tuesday. I had the Vikings picked here, just so you know. I made the switch right now. Purely because I think the line is going to keep moving, and at this point it's probably good value here to pick the Vikings. But I want to be on record that I have the Vikings.
What? Vikings, it's 5.5 points. You know?
I'll keep it on the Niners right now.
Okay,
you probably convinced me, so...
Your turn.
Okay. Next up.
That's my gold, by the way.
That's your gold. Okay, yeah. So San Francisco is just going to be your gold.
Until they stop sacrificing teams, yes.
Got it. Okay. So next up, we have my Seattle Seahawks.
This is versus... just a disgusting game to pick. The fact that both these teams is 1-0 is depressing. It hurts my soul to see that.
Yeah, again, we at least did well on week one. So I'll leave it at that. The Seahawks, my Seattle Seahawks, at the New England Patriots. The Patriots.
By the way, the Patriots are home, so they're saying this is closer to a 7-point difference for the Seahawks.
Not sure if I would have gone that far, but
that's what they're saying.
They are indeed saying that. I'm just saying I probably wouldn't have said that if I was the books. But what do I know? Again, this line opened up at 3. There was this push to 3.5 on Tuesday, and it's back to a 3 right now. So I think it's just going to stay there at 3. I don't think there's a whole lot of movement coming in to bet this game. This game has a really shitty over-under. It's in the 37.5, which, if I'm not mistaken, it's the lowest on the week.
If neither of these passing offense breaks 200 yards, it wouldn't shock me.
I wouldn't be surprised either. The Patriots D looked really good. The offense looked atrocious. Our offense looked rough to start the game, but I think we found ourselves and we found our rhythm in the second half, and we got it going. Kenneth Walker looked great in the first game. Now, I believe he came out of the game with an I think it was like an abdomen injury, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not entirely certain if there has been an update on him yet. There was no update on Monday, so we're still waiting for it. I don't think there was anything either on yesterday's practice, so we'll just have to wait and see there. I think I'm just going to go with the Seahawks -3.5. This is likely just an homer pick, really.
Yeah, it is, because I'm going the Patriots.
Again, it makes sense. You saw them.
I think there's a chance this Patriots team wins this game outright. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, the Patriots going 2-0 when no one thought they could win a game. Interesting.
That would be disgusting.
Okay, next up.
Oh Lord, the New York Jets at the Tennessee Titans. The New York Jets are favored by 4.5 points. That Jets offense looked really, really bad, dude.
Not as bad as some other offense. Yeah, go on.
You know what? We're sticking to our guns. Give me the Titans to win this game.
+4.5. You know, I wouldn't be surprised by that. But I'm just... Again, my issue with Will Levis is the turnovers. I think he is way too of a boneheaded player to win this sort of close games. I think he's going to make mistakes. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is the type of guy that will make those sorts of mistakes right now. Give me the Jets -4.5. I think their defense is better than the Titans. I think their offense is probably better than the Titans. They just faced the juggernaut of a team. So, 4.5 for me here. Fairly easy. This opened up as a -5. It has gone down all the way up to 3.5. So, you're on the side of value here. So, you have a better line, but I would have picked them at the opener at -5, so -4.5 works for me. Okay, next up, it's the battle of the NFC East, and we have the New York Giants going to Washington versus the Washington Commanders. The Commanders are 2.5-point
favorites.
A
defense that can't stop anyone versus an offense that can't score in anyone. Who wins?
Who wins? I think it wins the team with the better QB. And right now, that's Washington. Washington has Jaden Daniels. I think the -2.5 isn't, like, all that much to take over. Like, I think their offense is going to be, it's going to be good. I think they're going to see from the mistakes that they had on week one, not using the long pass and whatnot. I think they're going to rectify some of that. And versus a defense that should be a worse defense than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, at least from what we saw in week one, I think they're going to be able to adjust and get some points here. And the -2.5, I really like at home. This opened up at the -2.5. The line has shifted to -1.5. So I've lost a bit of a value here. But still, I like the Commanders. I think they're a better team than the Giants right now. So
I'm going to spit some blasphemy. I think the New York Giants roster is better than the Washington Commanders offense or team roster. Give me the Giants.
Okay. You're really feeling the Giants. I see.
I mean, I wasn't feeling them last week, was I? Or was I? I don't remember that, actually. No, I picked the Vikings.
You
but no. Picked, and I picked the Vikings because I said they had the better roster. And I'm going with the same logic. That's the logic I'm really going to use when you have, you know, two shitty quarterbacks and... Yeah. Anyway,
the public seems to agree with you.
This is fucking insulting. What the fuck? What the fuck?
I just want to point out, this opened up as a pick'em.
This is insulting. The Los Angeles Rams versus the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals are favored by 1.5 points, which I guess means that the Rams would be favored by 2 points on neutral. But like, this is insulting. Give me the fucking Rams at 1.5. Get out of here with that. Go ahead, pick the Cardinals. Tell me they're going to give the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr. more. Say you have faith in Kyler Murray. Come on, let's hear it, buddy.
I have picked the Los Angeles Rams as well, +1.5.
Exactly.
But I'm just going to say this opened up as a pick'em, and the line moved up to Arizona -1.5. So people are really feeling Arizona. I think I understand why. Purely because the Rams are dealing with injuries on the trenches right now. They are dealing with the injuries to Puka Nacua as well.
They have Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. They'll be fine.
Sometimes that's just not enough, as we saw versus the Lions, for example. But again, people overall this season, people really seem to be sold on the Arizona Cardinals. And I think we saw a lot of good in the first. I think we saw a lot of good in the first like 18 minutes of the game versus Buffalo. They did a lot of good things on offense. They were up on at halftime versus the Buffalo Bills. They were playing solid on defense as well, and then it sort of all just crumbled. So until I can see them putting together a good game, and this could very well be that game. So I'm torn on this one a bit as well. But as things stand, I'm still gonna go with the proven experience of the Rams and going with the Rams +1.5.
Exactly. And you don't think twice about it.
I thought a bit about it.
God damn right. No, you didn't.
I thought about it quite a bit, actually. Okay. So next up, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Denver Broncos. The Steelers, right now the line that we have is -3.5. So they're 3.5-point favorite. This opened up as a 2.5 game. It went up to, I think it even went up to 4. We got 3.5. I think the current line is 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, this is disgusting. This is a disgusting game. What the hell?
It's the lowest over-under on the week, 36.5.
Oh, no.
Here's the thing.
The Steelers can't score? Yeah, I know.
The Steelers can't score. I don't think the Broncos can score all that much. In games this close, I tend to go with the points, and I don't really think the Broncos defense is a bad defense. From what I saw so far versus the Seahawks, they looked really good. They looked stout. The pass rusher looked good. They got Geno Smith quite a bit. The linebacker room doesn't look great. But the secondary looks very good, and they have one shutdown corner in Surtain. So I think that's gonna make life difficult for the Steelers, since Fields can't get past the first read, and that's usually going to be George Pickens. So I think that's going to make their life a bit hard. All of that said, though, in any given moment, I think the best unit on the field, and I'm going to use this rationale until it falls off, basically, the best unit on the field is the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Yep. And I think I'm going to say this about a whole lot of teams. So while this number is close to margins, close to 3 points, I'm just going to take the Steelers minus 3.5 here. I'm okay laying the points with 3.5 purely because I think that their defense is just so nasty that I think I'm okay with 3.5 in a game that has 36.5 points projected, that is. I think I'm okay with the 3.5 here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you on this one. I think, unfortunately, the Steelers defense is going to be the best unit on the field in the vast majority of the games the Steelers play in. Regardless, here it is, baby! Week 2, Cincinnati Bengals at Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs are only favored by 5.5 points. Honestly, if you go by like the way the Bengals looked at week 1, I'm surprised this isn't closer to like 14 points. The Bengals looked that bad in week 1. What? Are you saying I'm wrong?
I still think they have to respect the Bengals for what the Bengals were in prior seasons. I really don't think that the adjustment from week 1 to week 2 should be all that massive. I think if they didn't lay a dud, that's probably closer to like 3.5, 4.5. But I really didn't expect it to be all this much. Like, this opened up at -6. It went back up to -6 as well. So we have a line here that is a bit better. But now, if I'm not mistaken, it's -5. So I think there's still going to be some respect coming in for the Bengals. The DraftKings has them at a -5 point favorite. So I think the line is about what I expected. If they had played well, I think it would be a bit better. But this is about what I expected. Like, -14 would be asinine, at least in my mind.
I'm just saying, based on the way the Bengals played. Regardless.
Come on.
Give me Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm there with you. This is a game that it's weird for me because in most timelines, I probably would be on the Bengals +5.5. But again, we talked about this. The Chiefs looked like the best team in the NFL. The Bengals looked lost out there. Maybe it's the run game that isn't working properly. Maybe it's the lack of T. Higgins. Maybe it's Chase. It's not back to 100%. Maybe it's just a mix of all of that. But because of that, and because of the uncertainty around Cincinnati and the certainty around KC, I'm just going to go with KC -5.5. I think it's that simple sometimes.
Yeah. And T. Higgins is not going to be there again.
Yeah. It's looking like that, so
it's gonna be rough. Okay.
This is Sunday Night Football. My last game that I'm calling first. The Chicago Bears are going to Houston facing the Texans. The line is 6.5. So the Bears are 6.5 point underdogs. This opened up as a Houston Texans -7. It's now down to -6. So a full point has come down. We have 6.5. So, I mean, call me stupid, but...
You're stupid.
I just saw the
Texans... I know what you're about to say.
I just saw the Texans going up versus a defense that looked really weak to me. And Stroud had his moments in which he struggled. Again, as I mentioned, Bell on 2 picks.
only 230 something yards passing. The run game did great, sure. But I don't expect them to have that same facility here in running versus the Bears. And I think their defense is also better in the passing game. All of that said, I'm going
to
go.
You're about to put your faith in a team that didn't score a single offensive point.
How many points did they score on offense, Angelo?
Zero.
Nope. How many points did they score?
Their defense scored the point and they got the 2 points.
Okay, so they got 2 points out of their offense because the offense was on the field. So 2 points out of the offense. That's it. Okay, got it. I'm going to go with the Bears plus 6.5.
For some reason, I don't think C.J. Stroud is going to throw 2 pick-sixes. No, call me crazy. Call me crazy, but I don't think that's going to happen. Give me the goddamn Texans. You're crazy.
Okay. I mean, I said call me crazy. Last game.
The Atlanta Falcons against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are at home. They're favored by 6.5. You couldn't pay me to pick that fucking Falcons offense after the way I watched Kirk Cousins. He's going to have to show me. Give me the Eagles. 6.5 point favorites.
I'm right there with you, man. Again, this is going to be the trend here. Until I see something that changes my mind, I'm very worried about that Falcons offense from what I saw in week one. And until I'm proven wrong, uncertainty versus what I saw out of the Eagles, which was a stout offense. Combined with a defense that looked rough at times, but overall managed to do the job. So, again, Eagles minus 6.5 here for me. And now, the minerals. Okay, so you've called the gold pick.
49ers.
What is your bronze pick?
The Kansas City Chiefs beating the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay, so KC... minus, what line did we have? Minus 5.5. Okay, my bronze pick. I am going to go with the Baltimore Ravens minus 9.5.
That's bold.
Yeah, I mean, it was bold last week as well, if you remember. The New England plus 9.5. Oh, 9.5 across the board. Nice. Okay, so for the silver... who do you got?
The Rams beating the Cardinals.
So the Los Angeles Rams plus 1.5 for you.
Yep.
My silver pick. I'm between two picks here for silver. I'm going to say I'm between... either the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus 7.5 or the Pittsburgh Steelers minus 3.5. But since I don't want one of my minerals to be a Justin Fields team, I'm just going to go Tampa Bay plus 7.5. And, I mean, my last pick should be obvious to anyone listening. Indianapolis Colts minus 3.5.
Nuts.
Gold pick is... just said, I'm picking versus a team that has the worst starting QB in the NFL. I think I'm going to be good.
Alex is going to be really sad if that's wrong.
Anything else to add now?
No. This is going to be a week that here's what's going to happen. Either... because we're on the opposite ends on a vast majority of the selection. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, we're on the opposite ends in all of them, but like four. Kind of like, well, kind of like last week.
I think it's five. I think it's actually five as last week. I think we're on the same side on five, which is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You also picked the Bucs. We are on the same side on the Colts. You also picked the Colts. On the Niners. You also picked the Niners. The Rams. And Kansas City. But did you also pick Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Okay, so Pittsburgh and Philly. So we're on the same side on seven, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Not as big of a difference as I thought. I have a feeling this is going to be the week one of us, like, breaks. I think one of us is really right and one of us is really wrong. That's what I'm feeling for this week.
If I remember correctly,
on the self we're against. I have a feeling one of us is really right and one of us is really wrong.
I remember correctly, last season, you started off great on week one. I did very poorly, and on week two, it was basically a flip. I think it was like 5-11 to me on week one, and then 11-5 to me on week one. So it was on week two. So it was something along those lines. So it definitely flipped there, and then you just got fired there for a few weeks as well. So let's see how this goes. This show is in the books as well. We finished right at the deadline that we wanted, actually. It's like it's 1 minute, good, which is basically the outro here. Do you have anything else to add?
Just that you're going down.
I mean, that's your hope every single week. I mean, only one game down so far.
That's been your reality every single week for the last year. So,
hey, now the bounce back is going to happen this year in general. So maybe we're down a week or two, but we're going to push forward. We're going to be over 50% and we're going to beat your ass. So,
hey, fellas. You're going to accomplish that this week.
Not this week. But again, we are okay losing a week or two. What matters, it's the end result. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So, guys, if you listen this far, thank you. Really appreciate it. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure to give us a 5-star review. Make sure to comment. Make sure, because now you can do all of that on Spotify and whatnot. So check out that feature. It's quite recent there. Turn on the auto downloads as well, please. It really helps out the show and it doesn't cost you anything. So win-win, right? If you're listening on YouTube, just make sure to do all of the things that you've been doing. Notifications, comments, likes, all of those things. Helps the engagement and whatnot. And as always, guys, talk to you next week. Have a great week of football. Enjoy Thursday Night Football. That's going to be happening in the day that this releases. So, like,
yep,
you're about, what, 12 hours from it when this releases. So enjoy Thursday Night Football. Root for me this week. So we want Miami -1.5. That's all we want. And, yeah, as always, talk to you next week, guys.
See you guys.